you know any places any Sega nerds hang out around here?
Welcome to the Sega Nerdcast, episode 102. I am Chris, the editor of Sega Nerds, and joining me this week is Kopke.
Hello, everyone.
Nice and to I think you. We have the entire TSSZ news team with us here. So thank you guys for coming on to the show.
This is like a rap album where it's like Sega Nerds featuring this guy and this other guy and these other two guys and stuff like that.
Oh, like six guys, yeah.
This is definitely pushing the envelope for like the most people we've ever had on the podcast. So we'll see how this goes. But I'm excited to have you guys. Thanks for coming and joining in on the show this week.
I'm happy to be here.
Oh yeah,
of course.
So, if you don't know, if you're not aware, this past weekend was the Sonic 25th anniversary panel at South by Southwest. So we wanted to do a show to discuss the happenings of that, some of the announcements that happened at the end of the show, some of, I guess, the non-announcements that didn't happen that some people were expecting or hoping for, and just some other things that we wanted to discuss. But one of the guys joining us on the show, Noah, you were actually there at the panel, right?
Yes, I was, and it was awesome, dude. Let me tell you. For starters, TSSC definitely had a sort of presence there, because there were people I heard talking about TSSC in the crowd before the panel even started. People, I was taking photos of the table before it started, and some people were realizing they were seeing the back of their heads in these photos and stuff, and they started turning around and going, dude, are you tweeting from TSSC? I'm following you on Twitter right here. So that was pretty dang cool right there. So there's this empty seat right in front of me before the panel even starts. It's probably the only empty seat in the room because the place was packed. And Aaron Weber comes out before it even starts to say hi to everybody. And, of course, where does he go? But he sits in that that seat right in front of me. And he turns around and says, hey, guys, what's up? Just kind of like being a legit dude, getting the crowd into it before the thing even starts. And of course, I take that opportunity to snag a selfie, of course, because why wouldn't you? I'm like, this is going up on a TSSC. And he's like, oh, you the TSC rep here? I was like, yes. He goes, are you Donnie? And I said, no. No, I am not Donnie. And he said, okay, good, because I would have just told you to shut up anyway.
Maybe it was the timing that confused him.
Yeah, I think, I know, what's funny is I've probably been clean shaven for the past, like, 2 years. But then that probably threw everything off. But anyway, so that was awesome. Aaron goes the extra mile to try to make sure everyone is happy. He was going around up and down the aisles of the room just trying to say hi to everybody. He walked up to random people, go, pop quiz, what's your favorite Sonic game? That kind of thing. Just getting a vibe from people, asking just random people. It was so cool. So when it actually started, the vibe was great because of that. And I think that it's the little stuff like that that goes a long way. So the crowd throughout the whole thing was very responsive. Like, almost everything Aaron said, I don't know how well you could hear the crowd from the stream, but they were loud. Almost everything Aaron said, every question he asked, he's like, and what game is this? And before you even finish it, they're all like, Sonic R! Or whatever.
Who is the one guy in the panel, though? Because he's the one guy that answered, like, every question as far as, like, who the developer was or anything like that. Did you figure out or did you see who he was? It seemed like it was the guy, like, over to the left off camera somewhere that had almost every answer.
There was some dude. I did not see him, but there was some dude who had an answer. But usually when he was saying something, somebody on the far right was also saying it as well. Someone right behind me. I don't know how much of the audience you could hear on the stream, but there were voices in all directions. Could y'all hear the guy at when he asked who was the third major player? Could you guys hear the guy in the back of the room that said,
Aaron Weber.
I think I did hear that. I think he actually responded to that at one point, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And then Roger Craig Smith took that and made it a recurring joke throughout the thing that every time a question came up, he would say, Aaron Weber? Because of that. But there's some dude way in the back of the room, so I didn't know how well that picked up in the stream. It was interesting.
For the people that weren't at the show, didn't see the stream or anything like that, I think we should just kind of rewind a little bit to explain kind of like what happened, who was there, that kind of thing. So we had Aaron Weber, who is the Sonic the Hedgehog social media manager at Sega of America. He hosted the panel and kind of moderated it. But we also had Yuji Naka. We had Izuka was there. Then we had Roger Craig Smith. And Mike Pollock was there as well, who voices Eggman, Roger Craig Smith, which is Sonic. And I don't think I need to introduce the other two. But they're all. I think there was also a translator on the stage as well.
Yes, Austin Keys.
Austin Keys was also the new position for Sega of American Development Team, which that is an important announcement that was kind of went into the radar from the...
Yeah, he's a new guy.
I thought he was just a random translator guy.
He's translating, but he also has an important position in Sega of America.
Yeah, he's worked at Bandai Namco forever, and he's just recently gone over to Sega as some sort of brand marketing director thingy. I'm butchering the title, but yeah.
Oh, interesting.
He's more in charge of developing the titles that come from Japan to our Western territory.
Mm-hmm. Right,
so
yeah.
That's kind of important.
Localization type stuff, I believe, because he's bilingual.
The bulk of the panel pretty much consisted of a retrospective of sorts, kind of chronicling the development and the early history of Sonic the Hedgehog, dating back from even before when Sonic was there. There was an Alex Kidd slide on there at the very beginning, which I know a lot of our Sega Nerd fans are fans of because we love Sonic or Alex Kidd. But it went all the way up into kind of the current era that they conveniently skipped over. Sonic 2006, which I did get a laugh out of. That was pretty funny. But I thought Aaron did a great job, not only just managing the entire panel, but also the slides were funny. They were interactive. He did a great job of, you know, getting people involved into the show. Noah, what can you tell us just about the retrospective and stuff being there? How do you think all that kind of stuff went?
I think it went absolutely great. Because it was a good look at, you know, the history and stuff, and getting, especially having Naka there was great, because that's the guy who we haven't heard from a while regarding Sonic. So every time he got asked a question, it was always interesting to me in that respect, because he would sometimes go in on kind of the very fundamental development and design of the character. And everyone was very responsive to that. I felt like every time he talked, it was just like Moses coming down from the mountain. It's like, there's the Godfather about to just like lay down what happened and that. So that was cool. So they went through all of the history, skipping over 06. Naka's face was hilarious. I don't know what to make of it, what was going through his mind, but he was just kind of, you know, looking around, trying to make sense of what happened. What I thought was interesting also well was when we got to Boom and the literally mixed reaction as soon as the picture of Boom came up. There were people to the right of me booing, people to the left of me cheering, people clapping. It was just some groaning. It was a mixed bag, and it was odd. There was one kid not too far from me in a blue shirt that Aaron called out for heckling because he was very vocal with his boo kind of thing. But Aaron, again, smart man, mentions the cartoon, which he knows everyone likes. He knows he can't go wrong with mentioning that. So he goes, so about Boom, who likes the cartoon? And then everybody, yeah! Everybody starts cheering and stuff because he knows, like, if he mentions that, that'll get good work, good word to Boom and stuff. So that was cool like that.
Was there, for everyone else sitting in, was there any particular moments or anything like that during the retrospective portion that you found particularly noteworthy or surprising, anything like that, that you kind of stood out in your minds?
I think, I guess I'll start. It's the thing that really kind of jumped out to me is there wasn't really one retrospective. There were actually two. They basically held the same one later in the evening, and I actually found the second one more informative and more intimate, almost, than the first one. And Noah, you were at the second one. I just want to really quickly throw it back to you, just to kind of, because as you were tweeting, you know, you were noting that the crowd was growing as onlookers at South by Southwest were really finally getting a hang of what was going on with this sort of second panel, a more intimate kind of chat with Aaron and Mr. Izuka and Mr. Naka and Roger Craig Smith and Mike Pollock. I feel like we got a lot more information out of that historically from the second panel than the first one, because it allowed Mr. Naka and Mr. Izuka more time to speak. What say you about that, Noah?
I think you're definitely right. I almost, I think the first one was enjoyable because of the fan and the camaraderie between them and Aaron. The second one was enjoyable for, like you said, more in-depth detail. Naka and Izuka went more in-depth about the, like, design elements and stuff regarding, you know, why Tails was created, which was for the co-op and stuff like that, about the Chao needing to create replayability. We went into depth about Mike Pollock's evolution of the Eggman voice from at first just strictly imitating Dean Bistro to being more dynamic and imitating Martin Short, I believe it was. I liked that a lot. That second panel, I kind of just walked in on it and was like, there they are. All right, let's do this again. And so the people in that room are not the first panel was all hardcore Sonic fans that had to wait in line and get in there. The second panel, that Twitch stage, is just in the middle of a giant exhibit hall. So there's booths of indie games. There's booths of all these different game developers and stuff. And then there's like board games like Settlers of Catan. And then there's just randomly this Twitch stage in the middle of it, off to one side by one of the doors. So there's just people coming and going and stuff. And they're all in there. All the panelists are all in their headsets, and they have, because you couldn't really hear them without it, because they had to have a speaker because it's so loud in there to project the sound. So there's camera crews running around and all this, and people are just coming and just sitting on the floor. People are coming and walking up. Somebody walks up to me and goes, like, what is going on? Who are these guys? They're talking about Sonic? I'm like, well, those dudes, like, made Sonic, and this dude voices him and all that, and he's like, wow, that's super cool. With people coming up and coming and going, the crowd got bigger from that as people walked by, and I don't even think they realized how cool it was what they were seeing, because it was actually even though it was presented more casual, it was actually more intimate and in-depth than the first panel, like Tristan said. That was definitely cool.
Also, it's not like every day Sega allows them to go outside Japan to attend something like this. Mm-hmm.
And I think especially getting Mr. Naka was really important, because he's not really been part of the Sega fold now for several
he's years. Part of the group. But the thing is also that Sonic's 25th anniversary is not only this year, but also Puyo Puyo. And Yuji Naka has been in a lot of talks recently with Sega of Japan because of this. And for a lot of interviews, not just these American ones, but at least in Japan, he's been doing a lot lately because of those two reasons.
I forgot about Puyo Puyo.
I was kind of bummed out that Oshima wasn't able to make it out there, but he did get some credit for drawing and that, you know, the original like kind of napkin design that he did of Sonic the Hedgehog, so it was good to see him there. What about anyone else? Does anyone else have any things that kind of that stuck out to them?
I guess the whole kind of feel of the retrospective really gave the vibe off that Sega is trying to consciously cater to that dedicated fan base again. Mm-hmm. It's refreshing to see that, because the Sonic franchise really has been more or less out of the mainstream radar for some time, and now that they're kind of really gearing back up to go to the big 25th anniversary celebration, they need the participation and kind of the enthusiasm of those hardcore fans, maybe more than ever. So to have Aaron and the team doing that sort of outreach so positively, so energetically, and having everyone respond in kind was fantastic. It was a fantastic moment, I think, for the community overall.
Yeah.
Nice. I think this has more to do with Sega trying to get what their games are off more into the crowd, into the general crowd. It is happening on GDC. You know, Misuguchi went there and talked about Res, and now they are trying to do with Sonic. And also what is important to get from here is that they are trying to reach a wider audience. It's not the same target when you do in a video game conference like GDC or E3 or something like that. When you go to South by Southwest, which is a thing where more general people go to that, you get them to know Sonic and who the people behind Sonic are. It's like more of a common thing and more of a widespread thing to get into more audience, into a bigger audience. So I think that's a more valuable part for this presentation.
That's a good point. So Matt, what was your kind of highlight of the panel?
The whole thing was just, I guess because I was streaming it, it was just fun. I mean, it was fun talking to friends during it, getting their reactions, my reactions too. Fun interacting with fans, but I guess the panel itself, I don't know, I really enjoyed learning these little tidbits that I didn't know about Sonic in general. That was pretty cool. I love Naka, I love Azuka, and I love that little, you know, the information that we don't know. I love history, so that was great. But, I mean, I guess it was the hype that really just sold it for me, even though there wasn't really the announcement everyone was, like, hoping for. It was still fun, and that hype brought us together. You know what I mean?
But I think we should clarify something regarding that, because the hype caused a little bit of controversy regarding this panel. Because people thought there was going to be a real, like, huge kind of announcement, but that was a problem. Like, they never stated that they were going to do so. They always announced that this, like, this is a retrospective, and we're going to talk about that. So I think people, like, kind of understood or, like, kind of made themselves the idea that there was going to be, like, a big reveal or something like that, and that kind of mislead them to get, like, higher expectations than this was really going to be about.
Yeah. Well, Aaron was very clear about it, though.
To be fair, though, Aaron did say that they were not going to be revealing a new game.
Yeah. He was very clear about that, and I think it's unfortunate that people weren't informed, even though Aaron made an effort to inform us, and we made an effort to relay that, you know.
I made an article about it.
Yeah, exactly. We did what we could to make sure people were informed, and people still didn't listen.
You know, I don't even think this was probably the right platform to even announce anything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this was perfect to do what they did with that, I think, was the right I think they did everything correct with this panel and everything like that. And, and you know, at the end, and with their announcements, we'll get into that later on, but announcing a new game at South by Southwest, it's just that's not what that platform's for. You know what I mean?
Right. It didn't even make sense.
Like, you got. Why would you announce something in South by Southwest? It's not even your target.
Well, you could announce something at South by Southwest, but not with the way they were presenting it. They were doing it like it was some sort of family thing, not like a press conference. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was more like a family reunion. This was more like a panel, like the ones they do in GDC and stuff like that. So
it was much more of an event built toward kind of building the brand up for the 25th and sort of getting goodwill out there ahead of their plans for the rest of the year. And I think they took a really good step in that direction.
I saw mostly it's just Sega, you know, coming out into the open again, really.
See, I'm going to respectfully disagree with the idea that this was not the right platform. And I say that, you know, I was one of those truthers, I guess, who thought that Aaron would sneak something in there new. I was not really disappointed with the panel because there was no new game announcement. I still thought it was a damn good panel. Mm. That said, if you are trying to reel old fans back, fans who feel disenfranchised, casual fans, yes, doing a retrospective panel is a good first step. And I do believe in that respect the panel was very successful. I am in no way taking away the fact that this was a very good panel and it has people talking again of all backgrounds and of all fans alike, the hardcore and those who have kind of whittled away the past few years because they haven't liked what they've seen. I do think setting the foundation for the next Sonic the Anniversary title, I think would have been fantastic. Maybe not announcing it outright, but doing it at E3. I mean, people are going to expect something like that at E3, right? You're going to expect... I want to see the unexpected from Aaron, from Sega. And I think Aaron has kind of shown that a little bit with the way he has handled social media strategy with Sega recently. You don't know what he's going to tweet on the Sonic Hedgehog account tomorrow or the next day, but you know it's going to be good. So I think sneaking in a little bit of a more significant surprise at South by Southwest, where you don't expect it, and where you do know you have eyeballs watching, I don't think it would have hurt. Let me put it that way.
Okay, it wouldn't hurt, but I don't think that's the correct platform to do it. Especially, you know, knowing that you can make your own event, like, specifically targeted for your fan base, which would be around at Comic-Con. And I think we got a fair share of announcement, which was the 25th anniversary event. I think that went pretty well. I think that would be enough.
Basically, right. What you're describing, Tristan, is about what if they just do everything you said, but they do it at the thing in California.
Right. Yeah, I think that would be better. It
so
works
let's,
better.
Let's kind
and
of
have the same effect.
Let's explain that a little bit. So after the retrospective panel, Aaron did go in and make a few announcements. Some stuff. He said that Sonic Boom Fire and Ice is going to be released September, was it 27th?
Yep.
22nd. July 22nd? I know, sorry, I thought that you were talking about the event.
No, it's September 27th this year for Fire and Ice, yeah.
Yes, thank you, on the Nintendo 3DS. So you know, that was good. We got a confirmed date on that. But then there's going to be another Sonic 25th anniversary party that's going to take place during Comic-Con in San Diego. July, was it 22nd you said, Kaki?
Yeah, mm-hmm. July 22nd, 6 p.m., House of Blues, San Diego. During
and
the
he
Comic-Con.
Did say there is going to be some... He alluded to the fact, he didn't come right out and say it, that, but he did say... I think he said something to the effect of, you know, for those expecting some big announcements... You know, you might want to attend this event. So
said, I'm not saying there is a game announcement, but if you would like to hear a game announcement, maybe you should go to that. Something to that effect.
Right. Yeah, I think that's what
basically
he said.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Say no more.
So yeah. That's interesting, though, because that got me thinking. Obviously, July is going to be well after. I think more than a month after E3 is going to be taking place. So well, if that's going to end up being the case, then. If they're going to be announcing a new Sonic game, then they wouldn't be announcing a Sonic game or that Sonic game at E3, right?
Right. This is one of the areas that I really started to think about after the panel. So you have this situation where, especially in kind of the mainstream game industry, you pretty much announce your core products that you're shooting to get out to the holiday season somewhere, if not before E3, at E3. So you have this kind of time frame we're in now where, you know, you have the end of March, April, May, and then most of June to start getting the announcements and the information out there. To wait until sort of the end of July when all of that hubbub has come and gone might be some sort of missed opportunity. You may have some degree of
I don't think so. I'm going to say why. Because in E3 you got, like, so much noise about games and stuff like that sometimes – stuff like this gets lost because, you know, people are talking about Uncharted, people are talking about VR. I think this is a better place, like, to really reach your target. And
Kopke, I think that kind of goes back to my point about why didn't they at least start laying the foundation for the new game at South by Southwest.
Okay.
My concern, two reasons.
Sorry, finish your point. I'm going to state the reasons.
I think if you first off, I think we're going to know about the new game before the July 22nd convention or party. I absolutely think that, because if you wait that long to do a proper full-on announcement, and if the expectation is that the game is going to be out by the end of the year for the holidays, as is sort of par for the course for Sega until very recently, yes, you start to run out of time to really kind of promote this product to the masses. Now, I understand Comic-Con is huge in San Diego. There will be an audience that sees it, and arguably, yes, it's probably more than South by Southwest. I want to start sort of laying those seeds down now and building up to more and more and more over the course of the year. I want to start early and sort of get this anniversary title, whatever it may be, in people's minds throughout the entire course of the year, not 4 months of it.
Okay, fair enough.
Maybe the fishing adventure is more than we think. Maybe it laid a foundation.
I'm out. Let's just put two pieces of information before that speculation. We are probably going to get information about that game before the event happens, mostly because of two reasons. The first one is the directive that currently Sega has for its three divisions. It's that first Japan gets the things, and then the rest of the world, okay? And President Okamura said so in an interview we translated some months ago. And here's the other thing, that before the event on July, there is happening an event in Japan in April, which is a special concert called Sonic Adventure Music Experience. So I think we might get some kind of reveal that. And if you know that, it's in April. It's 3 months prior to that, to the event on San Diego. So I think they are setting the stage like that.
The other concern that you would have is if you did drag on that long to make your announcement is that you risk kind of riling up the fan base. Now,
I think it is really important.
Oh, no, I mean, they are riled up to some degree. Absolutely,
yeah, it's
true. Better than any of us. But the problem would be, you know, people are already chomping at the bit for information. Now it's reasonable for them not to have announced anything there. You know, maybe the timing's not right. It might be too early. Whatever. It might not be the right venue. But to wait until, you know, almost the end of July before even an announcement of what's coming, you're going to have months, you know, where people are already, you know, just dying for additional information. So to have them just kind of stringing along for months and months will test their patience.
Okay, but here's the other thing.
They already don't
remember that conference they did in December in Japan in the Tokyo Joy Police? They also said explicitly, and I know because I translated that press release, it said the Sonic Adventure Music Experience kicks off the 20th anniversary celebrations. And it also note that the word was in plural. It wasn't singular. It said celebrations.
I don't know if we even have confirmation that Singapore is going to even be at E3 yet, do we?
We know that Sega of Europe
is going to be
there. Sega of Europe said that they will be there, but we don't know in what... we don't even know if they're actually going to have a booth there or if they're going to be showing games at other booths. So we don't even really know yet. And then if you look back at, you know, Sega's history in the last few years, especially with Sonic Boom, they announced Sonic Boom before E3. That was all revealed in like a week before E3 actually happened. So, you know, Sega has a history of doing things outside of that event. So I don't think it's necessarily going to be, you know, surprising to see Sega, either, you know, saving a big announcement outside of E3. I don't think it should come to a big surprise if that's the way they end up going with it.
Sega has a tendency to stray from the norm in the video gaming industry. Not often, but to the point where it stands out. But I think Sega will have something at E3. I don't know what, but I think it's going to be at least... I think the presence will be a little bit more noteworthy than last year, so... Just a matter of what. Yeah, they have to.
Yeah. I mean, they have other games on the docket for this year, right? Besides...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Dragon, Yakuza stuff. There's plenty of game show outside of Sonic, but obviously that's going to be the big thing that people are going to be looking for,
right,
you know, Sega at E3 if they end up having like Sega of America if they're going to have a presence there. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. So one of the things, though, that I do want to kind of touch on is that I guess there's been some sort of speculation and some discussion on some of the slides that Aaron used had some wingding ink icons and things like that. So what can you guys like tell us about that?
Who wants to feel that one?
Well, we figured out one of them after we concluded our panel, our panel on Tales Channel last night. Donnie, remind me what the word was, what the line was, because I don't have it in front of me. I'm sorry.
I think it was like "May they dance with the Juno bridal" or something like that.
Something like that.
And it went to, we found the lyrics for it. We actually got a couple of tips for it. And I can't remember off the. There was another lyric of it that was of importance. At least I think it is something about the classic returning in October or something like that. I want to say.
Yeah, it was like a classic
dance in a Juno bridal is the lyric.
Right.
There was that. There was like about the classic series in October. That I mentioned. I still have the. We've actually seen even more updates, like more teasers since then. Like, there's been another one of those little senses that people have come across, and we discovered that a hidden passageway, or not passageway, but a hidden passage in one of the panels that Aaron quickly went by had a hidden message, and it turns out that may actually have had a connection to a degree with the Medion picture that. People were talking. That Aaron tweeted out, but the song lyric was a series so classic at the top of October.
Yes, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think that's an accident. I know some people think that's a reference to the World Series. I do not think that's an accident.
It's awfully coincidental. It's from a song called Lovesick Part 4 by New Jobs or New Jabes or however you pronounce it. N-U-J-A-B-E-S.
New Jobs. There you go.
there you go. But that is the source of it, and it's oddly coincidental in a lot of ways.
Yeah. That would be interesting because, I mean, that month, if I'm correct, October as of right now is fairly open for Sega as far as releases go. I don't think there's anything really on the docket right now. Yeah, we have the only announced game right now is Sonic Boom Fire Ice of September 27th. And then we have Persona 5 at a 2016 release, so we don't have anything like that has a date beyond Fire and Ice right now. And so October, yeah, I mean, that could be an interesting...
That's not unheard of in the industry, especially with publishers who want to get AAA games out before the big slew of them come in the first couple weeks of November, because then if it's nothing less than the biggest budget AAA title you can put out in November, it's probably going to get lost in the noise. So it would make sense to see whatever this title is coming out in October or possibly earlier than that, October, if it's hinting at the lyrics, just so it kind of has a little more time to stand out on its own.
I'll say this too. Sonic Generations came out officially on November 1st, 2011, but I remember distinctly being able to walk into a Toys R Us. Now, granted, this was 5 years ago, and security was a little bit less, a little bit more relaxed, I should say, back then. And I was able to get Generations in the end of October and play it basically the weekend of Halloween. I'm just saying.
And just for reference, Sonic Lost World came out. It looks like October 18th of 2013. Yeah. So there is precedent for that sort of thing.
Yes.
When was it announced? Was it March? Am I crazy? Sonic Lost World.
That I don't remember.
I want to say April.
See, that's the thing about a lot of what Sega does in its history is that. Well, we might think, oh, Sega hasn't done this before, Sega hasn't done that before, but then you look back their history and you discover Sega's actually done that before, at least once in their history. I mean, granted, Sega has been changing a lot since then, but they've done it, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like the game was revealed, Lost World was revealed on May 17th in a Nintendo Direct. So go figure.
Yep, May.
I think it was before that. I could be wrong.
It may have been a couple. It may have been a couple days before. I know Sonic Colors was announced in direct. May.
I don't think it was in a direct. Direct came shortly afterwards, but I don't know. Could be wrong though. Then we're just going off memory, which is very reliable, right? No,
I think the latest a major Sonic title was announced in the recent era might have been in a week or two before E3. That would put it in the late May, early June timeframe, and I think that was for Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed. So there is some time, obviously. But, of course, lots of folks are getting impatient. Admittedly, a little bit myself included. I just want to know what's going on, and then we want to report on it up until whenever it releases. We don't know much about Fire and Ice still, and this game is coming out in 6 months. So
the thing for me is like I'm more sort of torn. Like at the same time, you know, the news reporter in me is like, I want to report on something. Give me something to report on. And then the other half of me is like, no, Sega needs to take their time so the game can be good because that's kind of more important than an article. And I'm just right, like,
yeah. Yeah. It's a really delicate balancing act between building the hype and getting people on board early and dragging it out too long. You want to hit the sweet spot where you get the information out timely and you really hype people up, but you don't want to string them along for too long, but you also don't want to jump the gun too early and then have to stagger through too much of a period of time without enough information coming through.
Yeah. Another thing we need to take a look at as far as like this event that's going to be happening during Comic-Con is, you know, there's been all this speculation and talk about a Sonic movie that's going to be coming out. I think Sony Pictures is heading that up. But that would be an incredible moment. I mean, imagine having a trailer for a new Sonic movie during Comic-Con, and this could just be a huge Sonic blast, you know, just media blast, where it's a new game, a new Sonic movie, like a new rollout of a new comic book series, all this stuff. And it would completely make sense to do all this stuff, like, during, you know, Comic-Con. And I think for that audience, I think it would be really neat. That's one thing that, you know, we shouldn't forget is this Sonic movie that's been, you know, touched on, you know, here and there throughout the last, you know, year or so.
And I think that will work for a Comic-Con audience. Mm-hmm. If you do a multi-tiered release, both game and movie, for that audience, I think it works if they are both good. And at least the perception of both are good. If, say, the game looks good and the movie looks like utter crap, you risk potentially bringing down the anniversary game. Same deal, vice versa. Obviously, we know Sega can do cartoons very well with the right writers, with the right producers, and having the right crew behind the scenes makes a difference. We have seen that with Sonic Boom TV. If they can do that with the movie, even if it is a live-action CGI mix, you can't discount it. Now, granted, there have been a lot of duds with that sort of hybrid format. Alvin and the Chipmunks comes to mind. So, But yeah. I do worry if you risk potentially if one of the two is bad, you risk, it's almost like a contagion, like a virus. You risk infecting both if one in particular looks really bad.
Right. We see that with Boom right now. You know, all the vitriol toward the games, which are, you know, awful.
And even within the games, which is much better.
Yeah.
Like, Shattered Crystal, maybe you didn't like it, but it was functionally sound. It wasn't, you know, glitchy mess, but it still got dragged down because of that.
Right.
There was something that we had discussed, like, at the top of the show, or even before we started recording, that we wanted to touch on after this. I can't remember what it was. Now, does anyone remember?
I believe it was the reaction to the lack of an announcement, or lack of a major announcement.
Look at Matt getting ready.
Matt's ready to go.
All right, Matt.
The floor is yours.
Grabbing up a spin dash.
People are dumb, man.
Matt's
people are
reaction.
Dumb. It's like, okay, I get if you're disappointed, but there's a fine line between being disappointed and being legitimately like livid, like angry, like Dottie and I talked about this yesterday in a video. We'll go up soon, but it's like we just basically talked about how Aaron, if he wanted to and he could, I mean, if he had permission to give us the stuff that we want, he would. But he has a boss. He has a non-disclosure agreement. He can't say, like, it comes from above, right? There's like a pecking order, you know? And I know a lot of Sonic fans, they want a game, and fine, I do too, and so does everyone here. But it's like, it comes to mind when people say, you know, I want Sega to take their time, yada, 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 and then they'll be like yelling after this event about them not getting a new game so soon. You know what I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of
two conflicting thoughts.
It's hypocritical in a way, but I mean, I really don't care. Like, the point is, I wouldn't get mad at this because we went into the event expecting like a history lesson, which we got, and an announcement. Never specified it would be a game announcement. In fact, they debunked that immediately. They debunked the game announcement like quick. So it's people are mad, not disappointed. You can be disappointed. If you didn't like the panel, fine. That's your opinion. I respect that. But if you're like actually angry and you knew that there was going to be no game announcement, then I have to say your opinion is wrong. Your opinion is 100%
more than
wrong.
That, it's unfair to judge.
It's unfair, yeah.
It is unfair.
It's like, you knew this. If you didn't know it and you're mad, then whatever. But if you specifically knew it, that there will be no game announcement and you were just mad, then come on.
Yeah, it is unfair. Like, they never said there was going to be such a case. Like, people grew false expectations about this, and it wasn't really about that.
Right, yeah. Go ahead, Donnie.
No, I'm going to say that. Let me just say for the record that Matt's initial reaction to hearing what we were about to talk about, where he just buried his face in his head into his arm, his hands, was probably the best thing that can sum up the last month or two for me and Matt right now. That right there just summed up the entire year already for me and Matt so far.
Right.
Because we've just been like, what is going on?
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, we've been information
starved. That's the thing I was talking about.
Yep.
Yeah. That's Matt the thing Aaron said. Like, Matt was touching on the thing about the higher-ups is, you know, as soon as Aaron gets the green light, he will tell us he's not purposely withholding stuff. You know, he said that in the second panel, the Twitch one, where he was like, whenever we don't have announcements, I like to at least keep everyone entertained. And exactly. That's exactly what he's been doing. And people are all like, the thing is, if Aaron was silent, it would be a dead silence, and people would be complaining, why don't we have an announcement? I'm not hearing anything. So then Aaron speaks up to try to keep people entertained and pacified until the announcement. The time frame still hasn't changed, and people are like, well, why is he talking? We just want an announcement. It's like no matter what you do, they just want an announcement. And it's a little ridiculous, especially when they put blame on people like Aaron, who, again, it's above his pay grade of deciding, you know, when this is ready to be shown off and stuff.
No, exactly. It's like Aaron answers to Sega of America in general, we all know, answers to Sega of Japan. Because yes. They, like, own the Sonic property. It's their intellectual property. Sega of America, and especially Aaron Weber's job, his job is to take those announcements that he gets from Japan and just boom in general and just spread them to the people, right? And if they have no announcements, if they can't say anything because of the non-disclosure agreement, which in fact, by the way, if you break that, you're pretty much screwed for life. If you break, yeah. But you know, he's just trying to give us something.
Yeah.
You know? And this.
So they don't have announcements. He doesn't have announcements.
Exactly. And I don't know why people are getting mad at a fan, like a community event for the fans. Sega is putting money towards this. They are spending money on the fans. For a fan event, and I don't hear that a lot from other companies. Like, pretty much Sega with Sonic Boom, I mean, you know, fighting companies, like maybe Capcom has that occasional Street Fighter tournament or whatever, and then Pokemon has the Pokemon tournaments, but, like, it's Sega who has these, like, parties and events. Like, I never really heard of a company having like a party for fans.
Bandai Namco, you know, I mean? Namco does, but that's another story.
That's cool. But it's like, usually for like parties though, you have to get invited, you know what I mean? You have to be like press, whatever. But it's like, these are for fans. And they're specific. Yeah. There are four announcements. There are four
and
a half.
You can get in free to this, you know. There were kids there, old people there. Everybody was there. Exactly. Let me tell you, though, the real fans were there because everybody there was non-toxic. You know the reputation of the toxic, you know, out of the fan base. Everyone there, even the people that booed at Boom, they were still happy and cheering and having a good time. It's funny, they actually mentioned that when I was talking about earlier when Aaron came out and sat in front of me. He said something about, you guys are my family, and I'm good to get to know you. Sonic fans are the best. And then somebody in the front row says, they can be a little temperamental sometime. And Aaron goes, well, some of them, kind of thing. So that's the thing is, even the people at the panel, the fans that were there, were talking about, there's maybe other fans somewhere. But it's like, not here. This is the positive family reunion sort of vibe that was going on in that room. And that was great because those are the people who needed to be there. You know, we didn't need the complainers there. And sure enough, they didn't show off. They were back at home writing up their thesis papers on why Sonic is dead or whatever.
but I also believe, because having gone to Sonic, the NYC event for Sonic Boom in 2014, I think it's pretty clear that you're going to act different on the internet than in real life.
That's true. Nah, I act the same. Come on now.
You try to conduct yourself a little differently when you're in person. I can tell you very much by the mere fact that I did not die at Sonic Boom 2014 and that I made it out alive, I think is a testament to that. That is not to say that there are not good Sonic fans out there. I believe the overwhelming majority of the fandom are good. So
you experienced some... What did you experience that, if you could briefly address? You experienced some toxicity at the Boom event?
I did not.
There was none. There was really no toxic... I mean, there was this one situation. I'll tell you later because I don't want to say it on stream. But it's like, right, yeah. Other than that, it's like, everything was fine at the Boom. Kristen, did I even meet you at Boom? Unrelated.
No, we didn't know each other before.
That's
that.
Funny. What were you saying? You were a miracle that you got out of there alive.
It wasn't a miracle. It was not a miracle. I was expecting, because there were fans coming in 2014, I believe they didn't have Summer of Sonic, so there were fans coming in from the UK, there were fans coming in from across the country, because this was the convention, basically, for the year. So I was fully expecting to see and meet and know folks who do not have a good opinion of me at the time. This was just when I had sort of semi-retired from the site and turned it over to Donnie for daily reporting. But I wouldn't say I was pleasantly surprised, but I was relieved to know that when you're in person, when you're in a group, when you're socializing, you know, people who may not like you on the internet are in fact very nice in person.
They don't have a screen to hide behind, right?
They don't have a screen to hide behind, and that includes me. So that's the point I was trying to make, is, you know, people act different in person than they do on the internet.
I think the biggest takeaway from that event, I was there too, actually.
I may not meet any of you there. That's crazy.
Takeaway from that.
How come none of y'all are at South by Southwest? Just saying.
Right.
Next time.
You can't judge a Sonic or Sega event, the reaction there as to how it will end up doing when it releases to the mainstream. Because when they show like gameplay footage of the Wii U version, they're going crazy. Especially when they show like Shadow and other characters, like people were loving it.
Rise of Lyric.
But, you know, once the game released, everyone almost universally crapped on it. So Because I mean, there was just the applause and everyone just going crazy over the game.
Well, that's what was cool about the two panels was that the first panel was the hardcore Sonic fans, and then the second panel, the Twitch, was just the general audience and stuff. So that was kind of cool that you got to see both. And both seemed to be positive. I didn't get quite as much in-depth of feel of the second one, but there were people who were like, this is cool.
All right, so did anyone have any you know, last piece of bits they want to throw out there? Anything that you want to get out before we close the show?
It's going to be an interesting year. You know, if anything, you know, the really overwhelming reaction to this panel and the coverage of it and everything now that it's all kind of settling down has been fantastic to see. It really has been. It's sort of a testament to how dedicated and passionate the community can get, especially in this kind of situation where they may have little reason to be very passionate because we don't know much about what's coming for the 25th anniversary. The game hasn't been announced. There's really been nothing there. But at that slightest little touch of community outreach, people flock to it. And if that sets the tone for the rest of the year going forward, I think we're really in for something special.
I think the panel really does show, like, it proves yet again that the community can be great when it wants to be great. And if people would just calm down, think for a moment, ease back, and just let things play out as they do, I don't think we would be arguing and going crazy and all this quite as much. I'm sure we'll still be impatient. I mean, obviously, but we won't be fighting.
Looking at the screen, tapping our foot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't want to be like Sonic or anything. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of funny. I wonder if that's counterintuitive that you make a franchise about a guy that is impatient, doesn't like to wait, likes to go fast, and then the fans are always constantly impatient about waiting for the next announcement.
Attitude.
They had to learn it somewhere.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh God. It's all.
They didn't think that far ahead when they made the attitude.
I'm sure when they were making, like, Sonic 2 or something like that, like, 20 years ago, they were just like, you know, there was probably, like, some kind of conversation in Sega, like, you know, 20 years from now, there will probably be some kind of fan base that will look back on these games, and they will probably act just like Sonic. You think we should do something about that? And then the rest of Sega was like, what?
Yeah. Make Tails. He's nice.
Make Tails. He's nice. You know... You know, Amy Rose is a great character, you know? She'd make a great character someday.
We'll have to all get back together after the July Sonic event. I'm actually tempted to fly out to San Diego for that. You know,
well, I've been thinking about it, too. I won't lie to you.
Well,
really, really quick. I mean, I can't because I have real news to cover that weekend. I know that sounds silly, but really quick. Not to demean the anniversary event, but as some of you know, it's an election year. So,
yeah. You're busy watching the world burn.
Yeah, I really am. It's it's
slow burn.
It's a very, very slow burn.
Yeah, I think that's part of the reason why I've just been so like into this fan base this year is just because, like, what else is
it's
there
an escape
about?
From the rest of the world. Really, really quick, certainly this has given me some hope. The panel has given me some hope that we are going to see something very special and very good. Noah, I kind of want to throw it back to you for kind of one last, you know, sort of personal reaction because, I mean, your experience was obviously very, very different from the rest of ours in that not only did you attend the panel, you got to meet basically the major players one-on-one, and in particular, we saw the videos that you put on our Twitter feed. But I have right now on my other monitor right now the photo of you with Mr. Naka and the copy of Sonic Colors that you got signed. I mean, that's a once in a lifetime experience for a fan, and you basically got to meet almost everybody important at the same time. Just kind of tell us how you felt as you were meeting everybody one by one.
Okay, so I will say with all seriousness, that I was a complete fanboy. Oh my gosh. It's funny, like I'm getting up there, and at first I was thinking, like, in the days prior, I'm like, all right, if I get a chance to talk to them, I need to get a clip and ask them, like, some important question that I've always wanted to ask and everything. And the moment I get out there, they're just taking autograph, it's just, that's all gone. And it's just like, oh my gosh! I'm like, it's the 60s, they're the Beatles, and I'm a teenage girl, pretty much, if you could put it that way. But the thing was, first thing I did was, it was actually, I back up a little bit, when they came out for autographs and stuff, it was not very, like, formal. Basically, they just walked out, and as soon as we saw, like, Naka come out, all the fans that were waiting outside afterwards the panel just flocked over to him, and they all just kind of, like, went and kind of individually walked around stations. Austin Keys kind of had the lead. Naka, he never strayed very far from Takashi or Naka so that he could translate any questions they had. So then lines are just start forming up towards each player. And my first one was Naka, because I'm like, that's the one that I'm less likely to see ever again, because they only pull him out for like 25th anniversary stuff, because he's not with Sega anymore. So that's the first one I'm waiting in line. You're seeing people there getting autographs. Like, I brought Sonic Colors because it was the only Sonic game I had with me when I left to go to Austin, which I was disappointed. I wish I would have had my copy of Sonic Adventure 2 Battle, because that's the one I really wanted to get signed. There were people who had that. There were people who had Sonic, like, history books. Somebody had Sonic Jam, of all things, to get signed, and everybody was like, you got, like, I heard that conversation. He's got Sonic Jam! And they're like, what? The guy's got Sonic Jam! People had their Genesis copies of the original Sonic. Somebody actually had a Genesis and a silver marker to sign his Genesis, which is...
That's pretty crazy.
Yes, it was absolutely nuts. They're all just flocking them, and basically, I just went up to each one one by one and got to sign, and starting with Naka first and then working my way from there. And I'm just like, the hype is real. My girlfriend was with me the whole time, and I'm just looking at her constantly, and I'm just like, the hype. You have no idea how hyped I am right now to be doing this. I'm probably not going to get this chance again. And I'm just going to get every signature I can. And my marker stops working at one point, so I'm, like, freaking out, you know, borrowing markers from everybody. But it was awesome, and I'll never forget it. It was so cool.
Can you tell I'm excited? Name is going to be Sonic Markers.
That's right. Run out.
I don't know what I would have. I don't know what I'd have them sign if I ever met them again. Like, I have.
Get Naka to sign a copy of Sonic 06.
I had Izuka sign.
Actually, earlier,
when
I said that I had Sonic Colors was the only Sonic game I had with me, that's not true. I did have Rise of Lyrics, but I knew that was not going to get that one signed. Like, hey, Naka, can you sign this? And then he just slaps it away.
I did get Izuka to sign Shadow the Hedgehog for me.
Oh, my God.
He has done so. So I don't think he has a problem with that.
I do have somewhere in storage I have a signed stand, actually, a signed Sonic Adventure 2 Battle stand that's signed by either Mr. Naka or Mr. Izuka, or maybe both. Might have been Izuka, but, you know, I'm sure it was an incredible experience for you, Noah. I know you will be writing about it on the website in due course once you kind of collect your senses again, and you know.
Once I calm down from that
once
high.
Once you calm down a little bit. And, you know, hopefully, you know, I know they're going to do one in the West. I hope they're going to do something similar in the East also, because I would like to, you know, be part of an event in, like, New York or something like that again. That would be fun. I hope they do it.
I'm glad they did something in Texas, because it's always one of the other coasts, East or West. And finally, yes. Noah over here in the central United States finally get something he can go to, so he's happy.
Well, they did St. Louis, absolutely. But I think the St. Louis event was not very well attended.
No, it was not. So
because it was in St. Louis.
Right. I think that's going to
no offense.
Wrap up the show for us this week, guys. We definitely have to get back all together again, like maybe a post-E3, post-Sonic 25th anniversary party. We'll get everyone back together again and discuss that.
Don't worry. The next time there's big Sonic news, I'm sure we'll all be back again like we've been doing here now.
We'll be back doing 6 hours of live coverage again, I'm sure.
Really quickly, why don't we just go around the room really quick and just throw everyone's Twitter handles out. That way people who are listening to the show can follow us all on Twitter. So, Tristan, you want to go ahead and start us off, and then everyone can go.
Of course, it's at TSZ News, and we're still in Metallic Madness Day 4. We're just wrapping it up. We've had some pretty big upsets today.
All right, Noah, what about you?
My name is Noah Copeland, and you can find me at Noah Copeland. Could be simpler than that. T-O-P-E-L-A-N-D.
I was about to say, were you just introducing yourself? Have we gone back to the intro of the show again?
Right.
You forgot.
And, I'm just now remembering my name, so yeah.
All right, Matt, what about you?
Hi, I'm Matt Hill's channel. You can find me at PewDiePie. Pretty popular.
Matt DuPie, there you go.
Matt DuPie, nice.
I'm done.
Most of you have a particular Twitter handle you want to throw up.
Wait, what? Is that me? Was that Matt? Was that Matt?
No, go ahead.
Matt's recovering.
Matt's dead. Go on.
He's at Tails channel.
Yes, it's at Tails channel if you want to follow Matt. I'm at CheatSpeak, CheatSpeak. I don't post a whole lot of Sonic stuff on there, but if you want to hear me bitch and moan about like Halo or The Division, you need to get on that now.
Yeah.
And Kopke, where can we find you? At Kopke.
Yeah, that's pretty easy.
It's pretty straightforward.
At Tell's Kopke channel. And Donnie.
Well, where do I start with that?
Which pick one?
At Shut Up Donnie.
Yeah, well, besides that.
Okay, yeah.
Why hasn't someone made a Twitter card? I know Matt's going to do that.
Don't tempt me.
You can go to at SSFNet21 on Twitter. And, yeah.
We'll stick with that. And so
I think it's better to stick with that.
Actually, you can't have the Shut Up Donnie Twitter handle because somebody else has it already.
Oh, really?
Somebody in Florida.
Well, let's do a hashtag to get that handle back.
Trademark it, Donnie. We can get it back.
Well, seeing how Aaron Webber told me to shut up, I mean...
it's a movement now.
Yeah, I know.
Mike Pollock has told me to shut up. The Sonic Boom Riders have told me to shut up. Aaron Webber has now told me to shut up.
All right, Donnie, shut up.
He did that on his own before I asked him.
There's probably a giant plaque somewhere in Sega's HQ in America that just says, shut up, Donnie, and...
They look at it every day for inspiration.
It's probably time for all of us to shut up, isn't it, Chris?
They're like, all right.
All right, we will we'll be back again here in the coming months, post-E3. We'll definitely have to get back together for the next Sonic show. So we will be back. This was the Skinnercast, episode 102, and we'll see you next week. All right, take it easy.
Bye.